This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on! It's on! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it! He got it!
The NBA is back, and so is Cole Johnson to help me talk about it as we close out this Monday edition of the program. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you so much. Glad to be by the mic again.
Now, the NBA starts back up July 31st. There's going to be 22 teams that will invade Orlando. What the hell are the Phoenix Suns doing in this equation? while I'm throwing questions out there, and I understand how they want to do this and how they want to determine the seeds that are in the playoffs, and congrats to everyone that has been invited to Orlando. I understand that. This is just two gentlemen having fun with this. What the hell is Zion Williamson doing in on a playoff team already? What?
You already know the answer to that question. I know. You don't need to hear that answer from me.
No, I don't. I got a better one. We'll get to New Orleans in a moment. What the hell are the Washington Bullets? Oh, I'm sorry. The Washington Wizards. What the hell are the Washington?
Yes.
And you know Wes Unseld's cracking up laughing. You know, like we talked about in hour one, how dare we have the audacity to recognize the Washington Bullets? What's the problem?
I believe it is. It is as if we got a chance to peek inside the NBA boardroom and they decided to talk and say, okay, how many teams are we going to advance? Because it won't be 16.
Nope.
How many can advance? And then on top of how many can advance, which of those teams has somebody that can catch the eye of the public?
Were you in my head when I was planning the show this morning? Were you in my head? Because my wife saw me writing this out, and she goes, "How much fun do you plan to put in the 2 hours?" Enough. And you know what her next comment was? You're not going to squeeze this into 120 minutes. I fell out laughing. When my wife, who was not a big basketball fan, she grew up in the era that we did, if that tells you anything.
Right. Of course.
So she ain't a big hoops fan either. Can look me in the eye when I'm writing my notes for the second half of this program, and I didn't need him because I knew you were coming on the air with me. Mm-hmm. When she can look me in the eye and say, there's no way we're going to squeeze this in over 120 minutes, I knew this was going to be fun.
I mean, my man, this is how I picture it. I pictured Adam Silver being up on this big board, and there's letters on this chalkboard looking thing, but it's magnetic, and it put me in a mind frame. You're a Chicago native, so I think you're going to appreciate this. It put me in a mind frame of Silver being Don Cornelius asking
the Soul Train scramble.
Yes. Asking the rest of the NBA execs, okay, let's see which teams would fit in this playoff invitational.
While they play a song trying to unscramble the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, yeah, an NBA scramble board. That's exactly what I pictured. That's exactly how I pictured this. And I was like, oh, boy, okay. So y'all just mixed and matched. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
You know what's bad?
I really can't hate on you for that, but you're so hilarious.
You can't. You can't hate on how you can't hate on why they put this together. We're in unprecedented times. You can't hate on why they put this together. But you can sure as hell playfully hate on how they put this together.
Oh gosh, yes.
Because I'm seeing teams. Let's just look at the West. And I had Chris Pirtle on earlier, and we spoke about this. The Sacramento Kings, they're in this thing. I had Chris Pirtle on right before I brought you back, and he's got the same look on. He had the same look on his face that you have on yours right now. This morning.
And the only way I justify that is DeAndre Fox.
De'Aaron
Fox,
yes.
De'Aaron, thank you. De'Aaron Fox. That's the only way I can verify. That's the only way I can justify it. I'm like, oh, okay.
You De'Aaron can't Fox even use me. Luke Walton to justify it. You can't.
No. Okay, De'Aaron Fox. Okay, that's why the Kings are in the mix. It's so messed up, that's how it is. That's just how I think about it.
You know what's bad?
Like, oh, my God.
You know what's bad? Luka has a playoff spot now with the Mavericks. The Houston Rockets, right. We'll get to them in a moment, so I'll just pass them up right now. You know who's at the top of the board. The Lakers and the Clippers. We'll touch that in a moment.
Right.
Denver and Utah, the Mountain teams, who should be one of the top two. I'll get to that in a little bit, but New Orleans, the Kings, I'm glad the Spurs keep their playoff streak alive, but the Phoenix bleeping Suns?
Well, I guess the cutoff had to, well, I'm just trying to think, so I guess the cutoff had to be 24 wins, because in the East, the Memphis has 24. So I guess that was the cutoff. Okay. Teams with 24 wins and above will make it to this invitational. I guess that's it. But I mean,
you know what's crazy? If the Bulls win a couple games before Christmas, they're in this picture. And that was my prediction at the top of the season. That was my prediction at the top of the season. But there was just so much unrest in the front office, which they've since taken care of, if they'd have won a couple before Christmas, they'd be in this equation, and the Washington Wizards would be out. The New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets. And no one's talking about the most unfair thing in this tournament. Remember the great Super Bowl tournament of 1982 after the strike?
Yes, I do.
That's how this feels.
Yeah, it's exactly how this feels.
So you got the New Jersey Brooklyn Nets, I'm sorry. You got the Washington Wizards. The most unfair thing, the season's going to resume in Orlando.
Yes.
Who's the number 8 seed in the East? The Orlando Magic.
I would think it would be Orlando.
I've covered high school basketball for 25 years, and you get to the state tournament, and you have that team, and I'm not saying Orlando is that team, but Washington's that team, Sacramento and Phoenix is that team, that just, even though they have the worst record in their conference or in their region, and I lived in Indiana for 5 years, and basketball was really king in Indiana. You have that one team that gets so excited for making a state tournament appearance, and you look at their record and you go, what the hell are you doing here?
And then they proceed to chop down one big time team after that you another. Thought was going to make it all the way to the end of the tournament after another. Yeah.
It's like the Washington Redskins of 82. in the NFL after the strike-shortened year. Who the hell expected the Washington Redskins to host the NFC Championship, win the NFC Championship, and thanks to a 4th-and-1 gamble, one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history, John Riggins races 44 yards for a touchdown to basically seal the game.
God, that's one of my favorite memories of Super Bowl.
Oh, man. So let's... So the way I'm looking at this right now, and they're going to start on July 31st, the teams will start descending on to Orlando on the 7th. They'll play 8 games, regular season games, to determine the seeding. The way this looks right now, 1 through 13 in the West, and this is where we'll start, Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, and I'm surprised at the Thunder, and then again I'm not, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Trailblazers, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, and Suns. Enjoy it, Phoenix. It'd only be one game deep. The 9 in the East, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Miami, Indiana, Philadelphia. Let's start there. Let's start with Philadelphia, because we haven't gotten to a breakdown yet, because we're looking at the teams that are in the playoffs and wondering what the hell they're doing there. I can ask this of a number 5, of a number 6 seed in Philadelphia. What the hell are they doing there?
Well, I guess because Ben Simmons decided to hit threes.
Has he hit a three this year?
No, I think he hit like two threes. But
Steph does. In contrast, Steph does that in 40 seconds. You know it. I know it. You've seen it. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. 2 threes all year for Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
I guess that's the barometer the Splash Brothers have to crash. Oh, I'm sorry. They do that in I don't know, first 40 seconds of the game.
Now, if... Good Lord. Now, if the process is meant to truly work, this actually would be tailor-made for them to do this. I mean, because... Basically talking about an invitational. I mean, it's basically like the NBA Summer League has come into the NBA for real. I don't know why the heck they didn't move it to Las Vegas. Be like, that's where you have your Summer League game. You might as well have had it in there because you're starting it in the summer anyway. Forget Orlando. You should have had it in Vegas, but that's besides the point.
That's a fabulous point. It should have been in Vegas or Utah, since the Jazz are in it. Well, we knew the Jazz were going to compete anyway.
Well, yeah.
We knew the Jazz were going to compete. No shade on the Jazz whatsoever. None. No shade on the Utah Jazz.
They're not slouches this year.
I'm glad.
Not a slouch whatsoever.
I'm glad for the Portland Trail Blazers. I'm actually glad for the Phoenix Suns, even though it's going to be a short stay. I'm glad for the San Antonio Spurs because they keep their streak alive. But, of course, the number 1 seed in the Western Conference is the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll sort of start there.
Okay.
I remember an answer you gave me to a question of why everyone wants the Lakers to win wants LeBron to win so bad, because the NBA 21st century community wants to see LeBron continue his rise to greatness, whatever the hell greatness is defined for him.
Yes. And they're so hungry for it that they will line themselves up to do anything possible. They will groove the pathway for this to happen.
Oh, you've seen that too?
Because, yes.
Oh, you see this coming too?
We have talked about this off air. We have talked about this off air. I will say it now. I personally think that this season is still operational, still going, because the figurehead of the league did not say,
shut it down.
It's a wrap.
He shut it down.
LeBron didn't shut it down. Because we know Adam Silver
and
ain't in charge of this.
It's LeBron James. Yes, it's not Adam Silver.
It ain't Adam Silver's
league. I love Adam.
Yes.
I love Adam.
Yes.
He's done a lot of good since he's become commissioner. But we know where the bread is buttered when it comes to the NBA.
Which
the bread is buttered.
With LeBron.
Yeah.
Which explains 2016. I'm sorry. Did I say that aloud? Did I just say that aloud? Did I just throw a conspiracy theory out there? Like a knuckleball?
Like a knuckleball from Phil Negro?
Yeah, I'm going there.
Yes, you threw that shade out there. Yes. Yes, you did. Goodness gracious. let's not forget that counts for three rings.
That counts for a full dynasty, folks, in case you don't. This is where I will shamelessly plug not only Snowman Unfiltered, but also the Snowman in the Morning podcast from Friday. You got to go check that out to see how Cole and I had that conversation and what precipitated that conversation. But be that as it may, see, even my cat's mad at me for bringing up.
He didn't call the Cole red. That's why we still have the season.
If he didn't shut it down, Adam.
This league would have been shutting down. We wouldn't be hearing anything about the NBA until September.
Period. It would be a full on reset. But you know LeBron ain't having that.
No. One of his better opportunities to get a ring.
And enhance his so-called status as the greatest of all time, which we both know is Michael Jordan. But again, I digress.
Greatest of all time.
My eye.
That Kennedy died 9 years ago. Greatest of all time.
My ass.
Buried.
Buried in Dallas.
Tombstone's cold in the grave.
And we're not talking about the Undertaker tombstone either, folks.
No.
I figure since this is how we're going to close the show, I'm going to empty the closet, all right? I'm going to empty the chamber. But it's like you said, it's a scramble drill with how the NBA put this together. Now, kudos again to the teams that are in.
Definitely.
But they're trying so hard. You want a conspiracy theory? Here it is. They're trying to groove this path for a certain player who's in charge of the league to get his fourth ring. And I'm praying he doesn't.
As the late Delery said in Harlem Nights, I had my mouth all watered up with hash when I heard the NBA was returning.
And you ain't got no hash.
No hash. I was like, NBA's returning, cool.
That's not hash, that's tuna fish. Since we're going to go Harlem Nights.
I'm like, cool, man. NBA's back.
Yep.
And then I remembered. I'm like, oh, Lord. But they really want LeBron to win his fourth ring.
They're giving no love to Kawhi Leonard. They're giving no love to Paul George. They're giving no love whatsoever to the Utah Jazz or to the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic. No love whatsoever to the Portland Trail Blazers, who were last year's Western Conference Finals runner-up, mind you, and who has one of the best backcourts running in C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. And the only backcourt I vote above them is in San Francisco.
Agreed. That is the only backcourt better. And yes, I realize I am a Rockets fan saying that, and I will say that.
Yeah. But we saw what happened to the Rockets last year. And I'm talking to a Rocket fan who, folks, after the elimination happened, I got this man on the phone, and before I could say anything, He said, before you open your mouth, I saw it coming too. I hung up the phone and I fell out laughing.
Back on it. I was like, oh, I'll believe this. They're not taking it. It was like the Rockets weren't taking the challenge seriously. And they had, I'm like, this is in the five tries you have played this team in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
You probably could have said 2018 was a good opportunity, and it was a good one. But this was better to me. I'm like, come on, man.
You had the Warriors down, and they were injured.
Yeah, you had the Warriors down. They were injured. Steph wasn't really Steph. So it was like, okay, cool. You had a chance to, and I think Stephen A. Smith said it best. He said, there's no excuse. The Rockets should win the series. But I know they aren't. And I was like,
I remember him saying that.
I'm in lockstep with you, because that's exactly how I felt.
I remember him saying that.
Mm-hmm. And so what do? They stupidly allow Golden State to hang in and hang in and hang in. Game at home.
Game
they
six.
They stupidly allow an six. Undermanned Warriors team to hang in there and hang in there. And they did two, they made two mistakes. One, they made the bench of the Warriors look as though they were the bench of the 86 Celtics.
And you remember that bench very well.
Yes. Not saying that the Warriors bench was bad, but I'm just saying the Warriors bench wasn't as
the
good
Warriors
as they were
bench.
In that game.
Right.
Yeah. And they thought that Steph Curry was going to stay cold, 23 points the fourth quarter. And so I'm like, man, you had a golden opportunity, Rockets. This could have been y'all, but y'all playing. Okay. Cool. So that's why I said I saw that coming, man.
See, Daryl Morey.
When the fourth quarter of that game happened, I was like, man.
It's over.
You all should have been blowing this team out.
It should have been.
There's no reason why this lead, or there's no reason why that you should be tied with the team at home going to fourth quarter.
It should have been headed toward
and
a seventh
with
game.
No Kevin Durant?
It should have been headed toward a seventh
no.
game. Matter of fact,
yes.
matter of fact, let's go one step further. It shouldn't have been headed toward a seventh game because the Rockets should have won game five. In Oakland.
See, that's what really upset me. Fourth quarter, game five, Durant's out the equation. Now, you played this team evenly for four games
mm-hmm.
and three quarters.
Yep.
So you're thinking, and this is with Durant on the floor.
Yes.
So Durant's gone. The biggest offensive threat at that moment on the team was gone.
And was a non-factor in Texas through the entirety of the series. He was a non-factor in Texas.
Yeah. And so you put up this paltry effort in the fourth quarter against a champion, the then two-time defending champion.
Yep.
And the team that before that series knocked you out three of the previous 4 years,
mm-hmm.
paltry effort in game five, and then you screwed the pooch in game six.
Big time.
And I'm like, and I'm saying to myself, you claim that you were built to beat this team, and this team proves that you don't have enough for them. When are you going to learn that you do not have enough to beat this squad? And so, that's why when I said I saw that coming to you, that's what I saw coming. So I'm like, man, until you all realize that you all are built like the 2014 Warriors and not the 2016, 17, or 18 Warriors, you're going to get your butts beaten off and out of playoff contention by a team like the Warriors every single year.
And this
and
Rockets
I
team.
I'll say that for this team this year.
And this Rockets team with, I can't believe I'm going to say this,
please.
James Harden and Russell Westbrook,
mm-hmm.
you actually have to put an ampersand between those two names now instead of the word or?
Or?
This is not a playoff-worthy Rockets team, period. It's not. Even though they win games in the regular season by James Harden traveling, I mean shooting threes at a rapid rate, Russell Westbrook going 100 miles an hour and then going to be out of gas by the time the first game of the playoffs hit. No interior defense whatsoever. None. You traded them all off. You traded them all off.
Why would you want to be the smallest team in the NBA? Why? I mean, I would get it to a degree, but although I would still say get a big man if you were the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I would get it to a small degree because unlike the Rockets, you're dealing with better shooters. I would even get it if you're the Blazers.
Yes.
Because, once again, better shooters.
Yep.
The way your team is constructed, it's either you got to pray that you have streaky nights.
And do it three consecutive nights in a row.
Right. Because that's the only way you're going to win. Because if the iron's unkind, thank you, Tim Brandt.
If it ain't stuck,
bounce just like the ball does off the rim.
If it ain't stuck on automatic, thank you, Jim Durham.
Like, come on, man! Really?
If like I said, if you don't have it stuck on automatic, thank you, Jim Durham.
I'm like, really? No big man. So you mean to tell me the center is going to be PJ Tucker?
Is he even a center? No.
No. He's not even a power forward.
Is he even a forward? Is he even close to being a forward?
I'm like, okay, so you want to run teams out the gym.
They think they're the Warriors, man.
Until you run out, like you said earlier, until you run out of gas and teams run you out the gym, have at it.
But the problem is, they only have James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Who the hell else is going to be an option for them?
That's the problem. I mean, it's just. Those are your two most reliable scorers, and people will probably throw Gordon in the mix. I'm like, he's cool and all, but he would have to be the guy. You'll appreciate this. He would have to be like with the Lakers in the 1980s, in the mid 80s, where you had reliable scoring from Kareem.
Yep.
You had reliable scoring in Magic. Magic didn't go buck wild with scoring, but I mean, he was getting between 15 to 22, 23 points, which that was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you also had a third element to the point where, and I still shake my head at this. He's one of the most disrespected leading scorers of a team I've ever seen.
Big game James. Big game James.
People claimed he was a third option. I was like, did you see 1988? That dude was not the third option. He was the first option.
James Worthy being a third option, and they just seemed to gloss over the fact that he was the first to win a seventh game and a finals MVP while recording a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
35 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. June 21st, 1988. Look it up, people.
So if you're going to tell me Eric Gordon is going to be that type of figure for the Rockets,
I'll go one step further. Let's go back 5 years. You mean to tell me Eric Gordon is going to be somewhere close to Bobby Jones?
Oh, my God.
Or Here's a name. You mean to tell me Eric Gordon is going to be, oh, I don't know, Cedric Maxwell?
Cornbread. See, and that's what the Rockets need. They, you know, they're enamored with, okay, you've got the explosion of Westbrook. You got the step back travel. I mean, the step back three ability of James Harden. They need a reliable third scorer that can score along the same lines as those two. And guess why that's not going to happen?
Because
Westbrook and Harden, the two of them fight over who's going to have control of the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me? Oh, I'm going to go all the way there. How about this? You mean to tell me Eric Gordon's going to be Tom Chambers?
Because if he was any of those types of players, the Rockets would stand a chance of actually being a championship team.
And speaking of, I'm going to show some love for the Denver Nuggets for them being in the playoffs this year. And
please,
we're
going to
go
do.
Back and we're going to go back a little bit. You mean to tell me Eric Gordon is going to be Alex English?
I would love for him to be an Alex English guy.
You mean to tell me Eric Gordon is going to be? Oh, here's how we'll close out. Let me go down the line here. You mean to tell me Eric Gordon is going to be even a little piece of Dominique Wilkins? You mean to tell me Eric Gordon is going to be, I already said Cornbread. Ain't no way he's going to be Scottie Pippen, so we can just take that out of the equation. You mean to tell me, all right, you ready for this one? I know you're going to love this. You mean to tell me Eric Gordon's going to be Larry Nance? You mean to tell me Eric Gordon's going to be Mark Aguirre? How about that? I said Alex English already. You mean Eric Gordon is going to be, ready for this one, Adrian Dantley? Who actually hit a jump shot, by the way.
Yes. You're going exactly where I was about to head. All of those names, those are the types of games that an Eric Gordon would need to have for this type of Rockets team to do more than just circle the drain. Because
CTD, baby. CTD.
It's almost, and this really goes to the utter frustration that I have for being a Rockets fan.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to this inane ability to build a team. And yes, I'm looking at you, Mr. Analytics is everything, the general manager of the team, Daryl Morey. The team needed some sort of defense. You trade that away
mm-hmm.
with Clint Capella being gone because you think, okay, well, we need to fill the basket up. You know, we need to get faster. And then, like, you got these other teams that are bigger, like the Bucks, like the Lakers,
like the Raptors.
Who could just simply beat you down without even trying to outscore you?
Mm-hmm. If you only gave up 95 points, you ain't putting up no more than 68. Just ask the Utah Jazz against the Chicago Bulls. You expect Eric Gordon to be Daryl Griffith? And here's a name I know you remember. These Rockets are depending on Eric Gordon to be Horace Grant.
They would need a Horace Grant presence on this team. They don't have that. They need one.
Let's go back. They're expecting Eric Gordon to be Bobby Dandridge.
Oh, man, I haven't heard that name in years.
Or Elvin Hayes.
And Devin ain't going to be Elvin Hayes.
And where did Elvin Hayes play? You know it very well. University of Houston.
Yes, I do. That's right. University of Houston alums. It's just, this should tell you all you really need to know about the Rockets. You mm-hmm. have a team that people were saying that with Westbrook and Harden got together that they were NBA World Championship Series / Finals bound, and I'm like, no, they actually were better with Chris Paul on the team.
Yep.
Because Paul actually had the proclivity mm-hmm. to get other players involved. And people were, today's NBA fan kept saying to me, well, Westbrook could do it. I mean, he sees a triple-double 2017, 2018, and 2019. You know, no player's done that more than once. He's done it three consecutive years. Really? Really? This dude is not even close to getting a triple-double for this year. Because that's not his full, that's not his real game.
It's not.
His real game is, get my shot off first, which is cool. I'm not saying that, he should change his game, but that's just his game and it doesn't fit the team he's on. Because he has another point guard with him that thinks I need to get my shot off first too.
Mm-hmm. And it's gonna
kill him.
It's gonna kill him.
It's gonna kill him. Because when they need a bucket and both guys are cold, and it has happened in this season and it will happen again
in the postseason.
They're going to be begging for somebody. That's why a person like an Eric Gordon is important. But he's up and down just like the rest of the team is when it comes to offensive game. So it's just... But this team is supposed to be a finals contender. Well, the team that you traded Chris Paul to has the same record as you do, and they don't have the same roster as you do.
Nope.
That should tell you something right there.
And you know what's even funnier? They're not going to make any moves for the next two off seasons. Why? They can't.
They can't. Sounds like they traded well their picks. They can make moves. You can't cup the team. I'm like, what the heck are you doing? That is the frustration I have. It's like, man, just get the season over with. Because I know that you all are going to barely make a dent in the playoffs. Just get it over with. Because, I mean, if it were the regular eight teams that was just going to the playoffs, they were slated to play the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And the Nuggets are just too talented for the Rockets. They're
Nikola
just so talented
Jokic.
Everywhere
that's
around
all I,
for him.
That's all I had to say.
Nikola Jokic would have a field day with this team.
Nikola Jokic would eat them for lunch and spit them out for dinner. And that's being nice about it, folks. That's being nice about it.
Because they have no way to stop a guy like him.
None.
Even if he just relied on his size, they had no way to stop him. Forget the fact that dude is extremely talented
mm-hmm.
and can shoot from anywhere and mm-hmm. can dominate in the post.
Yep.
Just his size alone could mess the Rockets up. So, I'm with the look. Just go out the playoffs because you're not going to make
much
of a dent at all.
Speaking of Nuggets, I'll throw a couple of old Nuggets at you that Houston somehow expects Eric Gordon to be. Does the name Dan Issel mean anything to you?
underrated player, very much so underrated player.
Does the name Kiki Vandeweghe mean anything to you?
I think I have rarely seen effortless offense like him. I've rarely seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you put him anywhere on the floor, you can fill it up. Like, oh, gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll throw a Portland Trailblazer out there. Does the name Jerome Kersey mean anything to you? Yeah.
Versatile on both ends of the floor.
Yep. Mm. and one of the biggest parts of that Portland Trailblazer team in the 90s.
Yep. Huge, huge portion of that team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. What a shot from Curry!
1 second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Out to Kobe. Far away, high up. What a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Curry comes to the ball. Goes to the corner. Catches. Works up Pondexter. Fade away. Three. Short. Rebound space. Curry in the corner. Shoots. On the way. Got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores! Oh, Derek Fisher scores! And the buzzer.
And it goes to Bird. Bird up fakes. Bird takes the shot. It goes!
All right. It's win or lose. Game six for the Bulls. 10 seconds. And with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.